More morning, anytime. This is the Kissin' Country Chris, Jack, and Matt podcast.
Would you rather?
Would you rather watch a scary show or a sad show with The Last of Us and the episode that was this past weekend? Yeah, I literally am still thinking about it. I cannot shake it, but...
stays with you.
But again, if I would have watched a scary movie, I would be trying to shake that too. So, yeah, which is easier to shake? Yeah.
Patty says, I gotta choose sad. I live alone, and I can cry myself to sleep, but scary, I may never sleep again.
Yeah, that's a good point, Patty.
Yes. Good morning, guys. I would definitely rather be sad and have a really good cry. My mental state is refreshed, and I have released all of my pent-up emotions. Have a wonderful day, Lori.
Okay, Lori.
You bring up a good point, Lori.
All right, yes.
This text says, I would rather be scared. I don't get teary-eyed, so most times I find sad just corny. However, The Good Doctor last episode had me in tears over The Last of Us.
Okay.
Really? The Good Doctor?
That's a pretty good show, I think.
Is it still on air?
I don't.
It must be. She's watching it.
I don't watch a lot on network TV, unless it's on global television.
Nice.
Good answer. All right, you got one.
Scary
more?
For sure. Then you at least get that exciting adrenaline rush rather than being just completely bummed out for however long afterwards. Also, you can almost always tell yourself that a scary movie isn't real or relatable. Where sad movies, you're always inspired by true events. It could more than likely happen to you.
That's a very good point.
Ooh, that's a great text.
That's a very good point. You're right.
Well, some of these scary movies nowadays, they try to make, like, based on true events.
Things like
that.
Yeah. Okay. All right. What about you? You got another thing to add? We'd love to hear from you. 780-421-1039. You can call.
You're listening to the Kissin' Country Chris, Jack, and Matt podcast.
Yeah, if you didn't have a choice and you were forced to watch either a scary movie or scary TV show or a sad movie or TV show, really sad, really scary, which one would you choose?
Derek texts in and says, I would pick a scary movie, but like most married men, it's going to be a sad movie if your wife is sitting next to you.
Yeah, it's probably true.
Sure.
Yeah. This text came in, I'd rather a sad movie. If you're looking for a good cry, watch From Scratch on Netflix.
From Scratch?
I guess.
Okay.
You ready, Chris? You better write that down.
All right. What about Marley and Me?
Oh.
Now, why?
Right in the gut.
Also, that show sucks. Like, it's not a good movie, but it'll get you.
It's a good movie.
It's not.
No?
No.
Oh. I think anything with dogs, like, Homeward Bound.
Yeah.
Falling.
No, but they all get back when, like, what's the...
Shadow.
Shadow comes...
Spoiler.
It was, like, released in 95.
I know.
Marley and Me. Marley doesn't come back.
Oh.
Oh, I remember holding my dog that looks just like Marley. So I had to leave, go to the bathroom and cry. Was that bad?
You're listening to the Kissin' Country Chris, Jack, and Matt podcast.
Good morning, guys. I'll get to the point right away. I'm retiring. For good.
For good this time.
Beat it.
For real.
He was pretty sheepish in his video. He's just kind of outside and there's... kind of some apartment buildings behind him, and you can tell he's just kind of like, okay, I told you this time last year, and I know I didn't actually follow through with it, but this time I'm going to follow through with it. I think he's going to follow through with it. I don't think he comes back.
I think he kind of has to.
Yeah. Right? And the thing is, like, retiring in quotations, he's no longer playing football, but he's going to slide right into an analyst position and make $15 million a year.
More than that. Did you know
really?
that Tony Romo... it makes something like $100 million a year or something. Like
Really?
Was telling me that on the weekend. Yeah, former quarterback now makes.
I just know him because he used to date Jessica Simpson.
Okay,
right.
He's very good at what he does.
He's great.
I bet.
Obviously,
and like everybody, every network will be lining up with a checkbook to get Tom Brady. Right?
Yeah, you're right. He could make more money even.
Jeez.
Yeah, and then he doesn't have to get run over. Like,
yeah.
Why didn't they do this like from the start?
Because you got to get there first, Jack.
Okay.
It's not like I could just slide in and become an NFL analyst.
Why did he bother playing? Why
did he just become an analyst?
It just makes complete sense. They would have wanted him. So we're talking about people that have come out of retirement or retirement hesitation, and we got this text at 780-421-1039.
Yeah, they say, good morning, Kissin' Country. I have a coworker who has been retiring for 7 years now and every year he says it's his last. Mm-hmm. And then when it gets close to his last day, he comes up with an excuse to stay another year.
One more year.
That text is about my dad.
Yeah.
Oh, for sure.
I'm going to sound like such a woke millennial chud.
Yeah.
But boomers, yeah, they kind of glorify the grind and like,
yeah,
obviously work is a lot to them.
Yeah.
So now that they're retiring, you get a lot of this like, what, yeah, do I do now? I don't have any spare time. I have the spare time and I don't know what to do without work.
Right.
Like, you got to build a life around, outside of work, guy and girl. Yeah.
Yeah. What would you do, Matt?
Right now?
Yeah.
The same thing I do when I'm not at work.
Hmm.
Hang out. I would, you know, I do stuff.
Get,
you know,
high. Get high.
I haven't gotten high in years.
You're listening to the Kissin' Country Chris, Jack, and Matt podcast.
First time in my life, I was wrong again. Tony Romo, not $100 million a year, $100 million over 5 years. So there you go. It's like $20 million a year. To just be a commentator and a good one too. He actually always speculates what's going to be happening in the play. He's like, okay, they're gonna be throwing it to the tight end here.
Is he usually right?
He's usually right. Yeah.
Well, the man was an NFL quarterback quite recently.
Yeah.
And a good one.
Yeah. Yeah. He's really good. So there you go.
And that person also followed up. I think it was Clayton.
Yeah.
Said that Brady's got a pocket deal for $37 million with, yeah, Fox lined, wow, up.
Well, he has got the TV look, so there you go.
He certainly does.
He's a little too gaunt.
He's gotten, well, you know, and that's what happens sometimes, right? Like, he's with this whole divorce and stuff like that.
Yeah,
he looks like he's
been going through a tough time.
Lost some weight for sure. So there you go.
I don't want I want him to be happy.
Yeah, I know.
I feel for his children.
He's getting there.
Yeah.
I'm sure.
You think? Yeah.
I'm sure he's okay. I'm sure he's fine.
All right. Talking about retirements with Tom Brady again, if you're just tuning in, the football player he retired last year, then he decided not to retire. Now he officially retired again this morning with a video statement he did on his social media account. So, yeah, we're talking about retirements and...
This text came in, I semi-retired last year at 52 years old, drove my wife crazy, so I went back to work.
Yeah, yeah.
First off, must be nice retiring that early.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
What would happen, if you don't know, your husband, Bob,
yes,
is away for basically half the year working.
Yeah, probably more than that. Yeah, he's home about a week a month.
You guys hit it rich. He's home, retiring. Do you think you could handle it?
No. Well, maybe if he hit it rich. But, I mean, we have stayed married happily for a long time because of this arrangement.
Because he's gone two-thirds of the year.
Yes.
Yeah.
It just works for us.
I like it. Don't know what to say.
Well, we miss each other.
They always miss each other.
It's fair. You can't miss that person if they're always there.
Exactly.
Okay. Well, and I have heard from people who are in that stage of almost retired or whatever. They're like, I am going to keep working because my husband at home is driving me crazy because he's retired, or vice versa, right?
So yeah, it happens.
Yeah.
It's okay.
I would say, God forbid, when Chris retires, that this would be the case, but he's already home at 10:30. So.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, I'm warming her up to it.
Yeah, you're practicing already.
Yeah, exactly.
You're listening to the Kissin' Country Chris, Jack, and Matt podcast.
It's time to play Quick Draw. We've got Michelle and Amanda on the line. They're playing for Aaron Perchette tickets at Cook County Saloon. How are you guys doing today?
Good, good. I'm wonderful.
All right. Well, you sound pretty much identical. So please, after you scream out your answer as loud as you can, as soon as you get it, make sure you say your name at the end of it, too, so we know who said it, okay?
Okay.
All right. Okay. Here we go. Sports equipment that starts with a letter G.
Girdle.
Yeah.
Football girdles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. That was Michelle.
Yep.
Okay. There you go. A menu item that starts with a letter L.
Lobster.
Michelle again.
Hello, Amanda. Amanda's just giggling in the background.
I'm getting cramped.
I mean, at least it's a good attitude towards it.
Okay. Here we go. You got a blocker here, okay? Amanda,
are you there?
Yeah.
Okay.
I am.
Okay. She's just locked in.
Okay. A farm animal that starts with the letter C.
Chicken, cow, Michelle.
Chicken takes
chicken.
It.
Chicken, Michelle. Wow.
What she came first, the denied. Chicken or the cow? The answer was chicken. Okay.
Michelle.
Congratulations, Michelle. You're going to Erin Pritchett, and try again tomorrow, Amanda.
Yes, please.
Okay.
Don't be intimidated by what just happened.
I tried multiple times in practice to get this far.
There you go.
That's the secret.
You're listening to the Kissin' Country Chris, Jack, and Matt podcast.
Yeah.
That ain't right.
That is weird.
What?
What?
That boy ain't right.
If I'd be driving with my wife and I would say, hey, did you just listen to that new Dean Brody song? How clever is that? You got the wrong guy. She'd be like, what? What's it
what
about?
What do you mean?
What's it about? I've got a wife who does not listen to lyrics of songs. She just doesn't.
And so she knows the title.
She knows the title. Okay. But that's as far as she gets. I don't think she ever really listens to the words, ever. She says, I like the tune. Good beat. You can dance to it, whatever. It's awesome. But she loves country music, but she does not listen to lyrics. Now, I think that's weird. I do. Especially with country music.
Yeah, country especially.
That's the story, right?
I mean, yeah, I'm a lyrics girl. I may not understand them.
Yeah.
Fancy.
Right.
How could you be a lyrics person not realize that she was a sex worker?
Because I just thought the gentlemen were nice.
We don't pay people to be nice.
Anyways, I'm a lyrics girl, so to me, this is weird.
I'm more of a melody beat person.
Yeah?
But I think country music makes it easy to be a lyric person even though you're a melody person, right? Because, and there's a period of time where country music, like, you know what's in the song. I'm dancing in the moonlight. I got my Daisy Duke girl with me in my truck, back roads, having a good time.
Right. But then,
like, there's other songs, like, as much as I blast it, wait in the truck, right. Or that one where the hook's so good you stick with it. Or like
Thunder rolls. You're just like wanting to listen to what is going to happen next.
It's easy to understand the lyrics in a country song.
Yes.
In other genres, I think it's harder and you become more of a melody person.
That's a good point.
Because like, for example, I mean, rap, I have no clue what's going on.
You know? Oh, the lyrical genius.
It's got to be, and I believe that, but I can't understand.
But then when you do look at the lyrics, Matt's right. It's like, holy cow.
But
they
rhyme
that with that, and it makes sense.
But I don't have a clue, so I'm more of a melody person when it comes to other forms of music. With country music, I'm just like, it's all about the lyrics for me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think it's weird if you're not a lyric person.
No?
You enjoy music how you want to enjoy it. Don't tell anybody, and nobody can tell you how you should enjoy things.
Right.
Though there's some, like, there's like a power ballad, you think, like The Hurricane by Bob Dylan, like just where it tells like this deep story.
But like Jack says, like the thunder rolls. I mean, my heavens.
Oh my gosh, you lean into your radio.
Right.
I didn't even know what that song's about.
You don't?
Thunder rolling, but other than that.
Really?
And the thunder rolls.
What about Papa Love Mama by Garth Brooks?
Okay, can you pick a non-Garth Brooks song?
What about Friends in Low Places?
I know all the words of that one. I think everybody on the planet does.
780-421-1039. You can call or text us. Is it weird or what to not actually pay attention to what's going on in a song? I mean, from a lyrical standpoint. We'd love to hear from you.
You're listening to the Kissin' Country Chris, Jack, and Matt podcast.
All right, is it weird or what to not be a lyric person when it comes to music? I was talking about the fact that my wife, no clue. We were listening to In Case You Didn't Know by Morgan Wallen, and I'm giving her fun facts about it. And I'm like, hey, isn't that neat? What a cool song. She's like, I guess. I never really listened to it. The words, that is. I'm like, what?
Yeah, more of a beats person. I think this person puts it perfectly for all of us to understand. A text at 780-421-1039. Lyrics is what separates Weird Al from the artist that he parodies.
Okay.
And I do love Weird Al. Amish Paradise.
Makes so much sense.
Yes.
The best one ever. This text says, my husband and best friends are in a band together, and they have played music for 20 years. They all don't pay attention to lyrics, but they all pay attention to the beat, groove, and feel of the song. Sometimes my hubby and I can get into little disagreements about how you should pay attention to the words.
Okay, there you go.
You're listening to the Kissin' Country Chris, Jack, and Matt podcast.
Yeah.
That ain't right.
That is weird.
What?
What?
That boy ain't right.
Yeah, I mentioned to Jack and Matt yesterday that my wife's not at all listens. She loves country music. Always has. Loves every song. Just doesn't listen to the words of the song. She's not a lyric person at all. So we asked the question, is that weird or what?
She's not alone. This text says, lyrics of songs. My husband does not pay attention to the lyrics either. When we first started dating, we would send each other links to the song of the day. And he once sent me Luke Bryan's Do I? That's when I figured out, yeah, he doesn't listen to the lyrics.
Right.
If you need a little refresher, it's like, do I still turn you on when I kiss you? Does the sight of me have you wanting, driving you crazy? Mm-hmm. Do I have your love? Am I still enough? Like, do I, baby?
That wouldn't be a good first dance song, probably. All right. Yes, Heather?
Your wife's crazy.
Yeah.
It's all about the lyrics.
Yeah.
No matter what genre. I mean, you go back to classic rock, Stairway to Heaven.
And when we wind on down the road.
Exactly. I mean, every genre, the lyrics make the music, I think.
Yeah, no, I
yes.
do too.
Yes, yes.
But we seem to be hearing from others that are the same as her. They just kind of listen to the music and
it's the beat that catches you.
They don't want to overthink it, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess, but I mean, it's the lyrics that set the mood.
Yeah.
It's either going to make you cry or you're going to dance for joy or
I mean, look at Matt. Matt thought that The Thunder Rolls was just a song about a meteorological
storm.
Big storm.
Like, this guy made a song just about a thundercloud? What a loser.
Good sound effects, though.
Oh, wow.
You're listening to the Kissin' Country Chris, Jack, and Matt podcast.
So it was a couple of days ago on social media. There was a post from the Lang Arena, right, in small town Saskatchewan. And this is quite the, this is not, to try to paint the picture of this is really hard, but basically it's almost like there's kind of like a drawbridge that comes down onto the ice and it's a staircase. And
I would say the stairs are about just above glass height.
Yeah.
So if you've seen a normal arena, like the glass goes to a certain height, but there's a set of stairs above this.
Right, right. And what happens is somebody gets on it and you kind of weigh it down and it flops down onto the ice. And that's how the participants in whatever event, whether it would be figure skating or ringette or hockey or whatever, they just walk down these stairs and get down onto the ice level. And it looked like it's a kind of a scary situation, like for that first person that's on there.
Go to our Facebook page. It's up there.
Okay.
Ethan shared the video. You can see it. And it is wild and making waves.
Yeah. Well, like you said, they have to kind of weigh the stairs down.
Right.
So you're going to get past that balance point and then clang, down it goes.
The change rooms, I guess, are above it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. You know, they don't have a Zamboni. There's not a lot of room for things. I mean, it's just a small arena.
The nets are ancient. Yeah. I think the rink is not regulation size. There's no stands.
Right, right.
There's, I guess, like, I have heard the food there is amazing.
Oh,
of course.
Small town arena food, right? They got a GoFundMe page going. I saw that.
Oh, they're making hay with this viral video, are they?
They're trying to, right?
Smart.
Yeah, they're trying to at this exact moment. So that gets to the point of, you know, small town arena stories and your favorite small town rink. You know, man, there's some good ones. Of course, the haunted one in Kalmar.
Haunted?
Well, yeah, you guys, we've talked about this before.
Refresh our memories.
No, we haven't.
We've talked about this
before. We have,
before.
Derek.
I did not know.
You block out all hauntings.
Yeah, that's probably true.
a great man who played hockey there to quite an elderly age by the name of Mike Carbonic. And we've talked to his family about this, actually. And if I'm not mistaken, anyway, at the end of the day, they named the arena after him. And I wish I should know the story 100%. But now, did he pass away leaving the rink after playing hockey? At the end of the day, there's, you know, speculation that...
I mean, that works with the ghost story.
And it makes complete sense.
And allegedly, you hear the banging of the pucks when nobody's on the ice along the boards.
That's terrifying.
Ghosts aren't real. Remember that. It's a nice story, but ghosts aren't real.
I'm going to go to Thorsby this weekend. I'm going to check this out.
You stop by Kalmar. Kalmar? Yeah. That's
yeah.
Okay. All right. There you go. There's, of course, the Winfield rink that I need somebody. I still, you know, before I'm, you know, set, all said and done, when I was a kid, we played in Winfield, and I am telling you, there was a spring of water that went underneath the rink, and I remember one time there was a big hole at center ice, and I remember this absolutely, like it absolutely happened, and they came out with a fire extinguisher, and they put some ice down, they put some ice and snow and stuff down to cover this hole, and then they fire extinguisher, they used the, for whatever reason, I don't even know why, but it was like and then we played hockey. There's a spring or some kind of something.
A legit river underneath the rink?
I'm telling you, there is. And
are you sure it wasn't like a water main break?
I'm not an engineer, but who builds a rink on top of a brook?
Sometimes you don't know these things until you get started.
You start digging, you're like, okay, maybe we shouldn't do this. There's no way.
Keep going.
You know what? I swear that happened. I don't think it's a figment of my imagination, but what Thorsby rink? You still talk to people about? They'll say you're from Thorsby, right? And I'll be like, yeah, that was the place with the incredible pie. At the arena.
Oh, yes. People do talk about that.
It's like, honestly, it's like legendary.
And you forget that inside the Thorsby rink is a bowling alley.
There was a bowling alley.
Okay, what about the pie? You'd want to talk about small town feel.
Yeah.
Like what are we going to do? Well, let's put three lanes in there.
Yeah.
Like, all of a sudden, there's a five-pin bowling alley in your rink?
I think they were just ahead of their time.
They
were the original Reds or, like, Toiler.
Yes. Nowadays, you get these big multi-sport industrial complexes.
Exactly.
Right, where there's like eight rinks, two soccer fields, a gym, and then but now it's better back in the day
they
when
were
it was
on
just
something.
I love this idea. I think that the sign in Thorsby should say Thorsby ahead of its time,
and then everybody rolls into Thorsby and like, was that sign actually right? I think they need to change their slogan again.
Okay, well, we want to talk about your favorite small town rink, you know, and what I know that Wetaskiwin has an unbelievable candy selection,
sure, Joseph's. Baby, that was the trips from Schroer Park to Josephsburg for practices and games.
Yeah,
who's getting the greasy fries there?
Who's got the best burgers?
Even the Schroer Park Arena, it was like a complex back in the day, but I remember that place, the shell attached to it.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, what about you? 780-421-1039. You don't really have too much on that.
It's shocking. I didn't spend a lot of time in small town arenas. Sorry, guys.
That's all right. And I'm sad for you.
I'm kind of sad, too. I'll live vicariously through the stories.
Okay, 780-421-1039. Call or text us. Let's talk small town rinks.
Kissin'. You're listening to the Kissin' Country Chris, Jack, and Matt podcast.
Kissin', good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. You're talking about small town rinks.
Yeah.
Okay. We had three boys that played hockey, and we were in a tournament in Caroline, and that concession in Caroline was the best I've ever had.
It was, eh?
Ooh.
They had homemade apple pie. They had homemade french fries for the poutine. It was just amazing.
As a coach myself, watching the kids just devour pie and poutine, know that game two is not going well.
Yeah, exactly. You're like, whoa, slow down.
Too much gravy, kids. We got to be able to skate.
The thing is, it's the parents chowing down on the food
because
they're so hungover from the night before.
Yeah, usually.
Parents road trip.
Yeah. This is why they have the good food.
Yeah.
That's right. Yes, it's for us, not for the kids.
The parents and the kids took over a hotel and made everybody else's night there miserable.
God forbid you're on the same floor.
Yeah. That's why they rule out there's no mini sticks allowed in hotels.
Yeah.
Right. Hey, watch out, water slide. You're going to get pulled off the wall.
No mini sticks and no mini bars.
That's it right there.
Chris, you're listening to the Kissin' Country Chris, Jack, and Matt podcast.
Oh, ho-hum. Just another quiet day in traffic.
Oh, that hurts.
Stay off the white mud if you can. Talking about Lang, Saskatchewan, the small town arena there where they actually, there's a staircase that comes down, and that's how you get down onto the ice. And we're looking for, your favorite memories of small town arenas.
It's pretty impressive. Jasper Arena, fantastic home cooking by Bubba.
Okay.
Have you ever played in either Banff or Jasper, Chris?
I never have, no.
No.
Have you?
No.
Yeah, they have tournaments there for sure. Yeah. All right.
Logan texts in and says, my hometown rink is the Millet Agriplex Arena. I spent most of my weekends there, and they always had the best poutine and buffalo chicken.
Millet Arena. Here we go. It's got an Olympic size ice.
Jeez, really?
It's bigger than the normal one, right?
Too much skating.
But I got a friend named Grant Biller. He still tells us, every time I see him, he brings up this story. I was playing for the Thorsby Flyers in beer league hockey, and I was coming on the ice, they were coming off, and I came on the ice, and somehow somebody went by me really fast and twirled me around.
Like a cartoon?
Like a cartoon. Like, yeah, exactly. Like,
wee, 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 woo! Like the Roadrunner goes
and
by the coyote?
I landed right on my head. It was like one of those tops that spins.
Ouch.
The Millet Arena. Yeah.
Good times in Millet.
That was concussion number 8. Probably should have taken some time off after that game. No, there was no such
thing. Skate it off.
Exactly.
It'll be fine.
I saw some things.
You're listening to the Kissin' Country Chris, Jack, and Matt podcast.
We're talking about that, rinks.
This text says, Glendon, Alberta has one of the best hockey rinks to go to. The food, the concession is all Ukrainian and so yummy. Josephburg is pretty fabulous small town as well. Glendon, RCMP Hockey Arena beats all. The concession band, the nice folks that run it.
Josephburg is like a big kind of a Quonset-shaped thing I remember. It's kind of a legendary one. Has anybody brought up Viking yet? Because that one,
seen it.
That one doesn't count. Viking, they lost their rink, like a lot of these rinks, unfortunately, burned down at some point. And, of course, they've got the Sutters there, and they did a huge fundraising thing.
Oh, yeah.
That Viking rink is like...
It's probably amazing.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Right? Like, yeah. When you get the backing of these millionaire coaches.
Yeah, yeah. It's the Viking rink is something you got to see for sure.
I like the ones, and we were reminiscing off air, Chris, is like the outdoor rink. I remember playing in outdoor games during minor hockey week.
Yes. Yes, well, prior to Millet having a rink, I know we played outdoors, and I remember being so cold that, Mom put a scarf on you underneath your helmet.
Thanks, Mom.
Aww.
We had a guy on our team, one of the dads, swore by putting cayenne pepper in your skates to keep your feet warm.
Really?
Yes. I think it was more of a placebo than anything. Like, okay, boys, your feet are going to be all right. Put some cayenne pepper. And our socks just all came out red, right?
What about Frank's red hot sauce?
You're listening to the Kissin' Country Chris, Jack, and Matt podcast.
It's 8:37.
Yeah.
That ain't right.
That is weird.
What?
What?
That boy ain't right.
If you're just tuning in for the first time or you're not aware, our own Jack is with child.
Yeah, very much so.
With child? What is this, the 1600s?
My lord, I believe she is with child.
Like Mother Mary.
This is an episode of Game of Thrones.
She's Prego. Okay.
He's Prego, fam. It's lit. Fire.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And Major Prego.
Yeah. We're just...
Like any day now.
Counting the minutes. Every minute is one more minute that she's on the air with us.
Yes, we made it.
It's just kind of the way it goes. So... You got a weirder what for us.
I do. So there is a growing trend right now that I was made aware of that if you are delivering at the hospital, the growing trend is to bring your labor and delivery team as well as the postpartum team, because they're two different units, gift baskets as like a thank you. And you know I love my thank you cards. And I know, Matt's rolling his eyes, because you would never do something nice for somebody.
I do nice things for people all the time. You're such a hardo.
No, I'm not a hardo. This is a huge thing. If you look it up online, there is a growing trend of these women bringing these baskets to thank their teams. And so there's a whole list of like the number one things that nurses are requesting that are on these units. And that includes pens, hand cream, lip balms, candy, treats, coffee pods like for Keurigs, gum and sparkling water. And just like a thank you. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for whatever. Pushing me through this.
Literally.
Yeah.
That's what the baby said. Yeah.
So I didn't do... I was horrified because I did not do this for my last two.
Oh, my gosh.
I was like, oh, my gosh. So I think I'm going to do it this time. But it's also a lot of planning because, like, you go into the hospital and you're like, the gift baskets. I need the gift baskets. Oh, yeah, I have to have a baby. It's a lot of pressure. More ways than one.
Well,
I believe the strain on our healthcare system is large, and these nurses do deserve... better.
Yeah.
And doctors, but I don't think it comes from the patients.
Right.
You're doing this to flex on everybody else. Look how much better I am than everybody else that came and had a baby here. I gave you hand cream, a gift back.
And that has come up in the blogs too. Like lots of moms are saying, hey, there's so many people that aren't in this position that can't do this.
Right. Right. Man.
I don't know. I get it. Matt, I don't think it's weird, obviously, but...
Matt said at the very beginning of this, when will it ever stop?
Yeah.
When will it ever stop?
This is just like... Oh, can't you just give him a high five on the way out with your baby and be done with it?
Nope, not anymore.
Wait, and you legit are thinking about doing this?
Yes.
She's doing it.
I am going to do
she's
it.
She's probably already bought the stuff.
I did.
It's like, the hand cream is in my bag. Like, when can you
give
just let it rest? Like, just be kind. Treat them with respect. They'll treat you with respect. You have your baby. They do your job. You do your job.
And that's a great point, too, right? Like, they are doing their jobs.
But you start tipping them, you leave a 20 on the nursing station. You
know, it's hard.
First text in, don't get me wrong, I love hospitals and the hospital staff and everyone. My daughter's a nurse, but oh my God, giving them a gift for doing their job was something really good. Anyway, the bottom line is I have gotten a gift from a student, school, or parent. I haven't gotten a gift from a student. I'm a teacher. I'm just doing my job, basically, is what they're saying. Yeah, I would say that the majority of people are going to say this is ridiculous.
This text right here, you see, you're absolutely right. My wife works in an ICU as a delivery nurse, and yes, they get gifts all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think people that work in that industry are going to say this isn't ridiculous. Well. like,
you know, who needs more gifts? Radio announcers.
Well, ironically, Matt, we just got a text from Megan from the Stollery, and they just dropped off a gift basket for us with some food and stuff in it. So maybe we're no better,
Matt. Matt left. He's going to accept for doing his job.
Yeah, you were just doing your job, Matt.
She didn't have to do that. But yeah. I'll take it.
This is the situation. Exactly.
Yeah, but like, I would think the same of her if she didn't do that. But it's nice.
It's a tough spot. I don't know.
Let me tell you, all those hardos at the Stollery.
Yeah.
It's weird, man. It's weird. Can't we just, like, have this baseline in society in which we just respect each other and we don't have to give each other gifts like this?
Another text. Just feels like the tipping culture has gone way too far.
Yeah.
All right.
I think Jack is the conductor of the train.
I am not. I didn't do this my last two, and I am embarrassed.
You're listening to the Kissin' Country Chris, Jack, and Matt podcast.
That is weird.
What?
That boy ain't right.
All right. Jack's having a baby, and number three, this time around, she's going to do it right and give gifts to everybody involved in the delivery process, right?
Apparently, it has come to my attention that it is a growing trend to have a gift basket for your labor and delivery team and a gift basket for your postpartum team just to say thank you.
Okay.
I didn't know this, and I am horrified that I just went in and had a baby and didn't do anything for these people.
Oh, my goodness.
I know. It sounds silly, but now that you think about it, they do a lot for you.
Sure.
It's part of the process.
This text says, I'm a lawyer. I wish someone would give me a gift. I work really hard for my clients.
There you go.
All right, there. Quit billing me at all hours of the day, lawyer. No, I'm just kidding.
I work on a general surgery unit, and there is no way we ask for gifts. I mean, we do get the odd thank you card that we appreciate it, but in no way are patients obligated to give us gifts.
You know what? I just thought of something.
What?
I can't believe it, but it was over 50 years ago when I got my circumcision. I left a tip.
Can you say that on the air?
Yes, sure you can. Let me tell you, I didn't leave a tip, if you know what I mean.
Thanks, Matt. Shocking, you kept it all to yourself.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Chris, Jack, and Matt podcast. If people want to find out more about Jack, where do they got to go?
You can go at @Kissin_Jack, J-A-C-K, on Twitter.
What about you, Matt?
I'm Matt D. Builder on Twitter.
All right, because you're building all the time.
That's right. How about you, Chris?
Well, I'm at Chris Sheets. Everybody spells my name wrong. S-C-H-E-E-T-Z. And don't forget about this podcast.
Yes, you can rate, review, and subscribe so you never miss a moment of all the fun we have.
If you enjoyed it, tell a friend. Thank you very much.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to the Kissin' Country Chris, Jack, and Matt podcast. Listen live weekday mornings from 5 on Kissin' Country 103.9.
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone, like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.